Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us. And I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you will speak to our hearts this night, Lord. Help us to understand you, Lord. Let a love for your word grow in our hearts, Lord. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight, I would like to share with you about the loyal love of God. We are going to read first from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136. Before we begin, we just have to keep in mind these three things. The first thing that this psalm is actually what the structure we would call a antiphonally, which is where one part of the congregation will make a statement and the other part of the congregation would respond with the refrain, for his steadfast love endures forever. So as we go into the study of this psalm tonight, let's keep in mind that this is a liturgy of thanksgiving, where people are coming together to praise God, to glorify him. And the second part is to keep in mind is that the God, our God, is the God of the covenant. He established his covenant with Abraham, and he binds himself with Abraham first, and then he renews this covenant with the rest of the patriarchs. And this covenant is a covenant that is what we will say, a tie that binds, a blessed tie that binds, because God chose to bind himself with us. And the third thing that we should keep in mind, and all of you would have noticed, that the recurring refrain, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, when I first read this psalm when I was very young, I always kept thinking, why does it have to say this refrain, this sentence so many times? But as I began to understand the reason behind it, it helped me to understand why this refrain was placed there. It's firstly to make us stop and slow down and consider why it was necessary for the psalmist to reiterate this. And was it intentional? Was he trying to make a point when this refrain comes up 26 times in this psalm? And secondly, is to ask this question, what is the meaning of steadfast love? In some translations, you can find that word mercy, loving kindness, or unfailing love. Now, the word love in the English language itself is a very unclear word, and it's used very generally. You know, we can use that word to describe our love for something, like our love for food or for pizza. And it's the same time we use that same word to confess our love for somebody, for our spouse, our children, our sibling, or our parent. So to understand how this word is love is used in the Bible, we must first look at how the Bible characterizes God. In Exodus 34:6, it says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. Now, this word loyal love is a translation of the word hesed, which is a Hebrew word. And what this word hesed means, which is when translated to English, loyal love, what it means is it's a combination of ideas of concrete acts of love, which is motivated by generosity. And it has an enduring commitment. It is a kind of love demonstrated by someone determined to keep a promise and motivated to endure and maintain a covenant through self-giving generosity. It describes an act of promise-keeping loyalty, God's loyal and generous commitment to an undeserving people. Now, when we take some time to just look at these words and just think of these words and just meditate on these words, hesed, the loyal love of God, and we begin to see the dimensions and the depths of God's love. It is not an emotion, it's not a feeling, but it's concrete acts of love. And it's not based on whether the recipient is worthy to receive it, but it's centered on the very character of God, abounding in loyal love. And even as I began to meditate on these words that describe loyal love, hesed, God began to speak to me, and God began to show me how deep and how vast and how rich is God's love for me. I just want to encourage all of you to spend some time just thinking through these words and God's hesed for you. The first three verses of Psalm 136 is a call to worship. And we are called to worship the Lord, the personal God of Israel, the God of gods. He's the supreme God, and he is the Lord of lords. He is the God over all authority. We are called to worship him because he is worthy, he is good, he is perfect. And most of all, his love for us endures forever. He is a God who commits himself unconditionally to his people and never abandons that commitment. And that is God's love for us. And we need to take this truth and remind ourselves every day, remind ourselves of how God loves us, not like the world loves us. This is a different kind of love. Because when we begin to think of how he loves us, we begin to grow certain of ourselves, of our life and our future, because we begin to look at things differently. Because all of us, we all struggle with acceptance, approval, rejection, success, recognition. Some of us struggle with absent parents, with failures, with mistakes. We struggle with all these things. But the answer lies in the truth. And this truth is God's loyal love for us. And when we meditate and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, it brings healing. And it helps us to grasp and to allow this love to change our lives. The second part, the verse 4 to verse 9. Here we see that our God is an omnipotent God who performs magnificent, amazing deeds. And in creation, God shows us his power, his order, and his sovereign plan. You know, when we look at the words, wisdom to make the heavens, to spread out the earth, the great lights, he made the sun, the moon, and the stars to rule at by night. All these things are upheld by God's loyal love. And the psalmist implores us to look, you know, to see the loyal love of God in creation. In Psalm 119, verse 64, it says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes." When we look at creation, we see God's love. It is he who is upholding the cosmos, the entire cosmos, in his hand because he loves us. And in Acts 14, 17, God has shown us kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. So we can see God's amazing love for each one of us through creation. The third part is the loyal love of God for his people. God has kept his covenant through Jesus Christ. After centuries of Israel betraying their commitment to God, and after humanity's long history of violence, death, and rebellion, God still kept his promise in a dramatic and drastic way by becoming human and binding himself to us in the person of God. In his life, death, and resurrection, God opened up a future for all of us, for all creation. And God did this because he is generous, loving, and eternally loyal to his promises. And when we look at verse 10 to verse 22, it is actually, the psalmist writes about the deliverance story of Israel from Egypt. And this is a shadow of what Jesus Christ has done for us, our deliverance story. So the first word that we see here is the one who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And when you think of Christ, when he took our sins upon himself and died on the cross. He crushed the enemy's head. He defeated and broke the curse of sin. The plan of the enemy was destroyed, and the enemy was struck down. And Christ leads us, like God led Israel out from their midst. Christ leads us and redeems us from sin, out of bondage. These two words that we read here, a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Now, this is the display of God's power when he rescued the Israelites. And this display actually shows the power of God. What he did when he stretched out his arm to save his people. And this same power works in us today. In Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and to the end of the earth. And so, like Peter, we no longer have to be afraid to be a witness for God, to be his ambassadors, to stand for truth, to live this life, because God's power is in us. The next thing that we read in verse 13 is, here the Israelites were trapped. Okay, they faced a huge obstacle before them, that was the Red Sea. But God tells Moses, he tells him to lift up his staff, and a path was made, and the sea was divided, and God led them through. And in the same way, Jesus makes a way for us. We are all trapped in sin, and we faced a huge obstacle before us, and that was death, that we could not remove by ourselves. But Jesus made a way, and he invites us to follow him. In verse 15, it says, and tossed Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Now, here, Pharaoh and all his power was tossed into the sea. Pharaoh was like a god in Egypt. And when God sent the 10 plagues, it was a representation of the 10 Egyptian gods. And God sent those plagues, and God showed his supremacy over those plagues. Because it says in Exodus 12:12, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. So God was very patient in dealing with Pharaoh. He could have struck him then and there after the first visit of Moses, but he did not. He kept showing his power. He kept speaking with Pharaoh, but Pharaoh was playing games with God. He was being dishonest. And even until the end, he went back on his word and he tried to recapture the Israelites. This word tossed is the justice of God for his people, from all that Pharaoh had done towards them. And he tossed his power into that sea. And this is the justice that we would have in the second coming of Christ. And there is so much evil in this world, and injustice and corruption. And of course, we pray and ask God that God will show us just people and do just work in this land that we live in, these nations and the nations of the world. But the fullness of justice will come at the second coming of Christ. And then we will rejoice and give thanks because his loyal love endures forever. And then in verse 16, it talks about the wilderness. In the wilderness, it was difficult. It was a strange place. They were lacking of food and they were also rebelling against God and they were complaining. But in the wilderness, we see that God was faithful. And God is faithful even to us in our own rebellion. He never stops loving us. He continues to keep his covenant with us. He continues to show us concrete acts of love. He does not walk away. He is still faithful to us. And then we go on to see how God strikes down the great and powerful kings. Now, Sihon, the king of the Amorites, he did not give passage to the Israelites, but instead they came out to fight them. And God gave them the victory. And the same thing happened to Og, the king of Bashan. The Israelites were afraid to face him, but God said to go and fight. And he said, I will give you the victory. And he did. And here we can say that God is the protector of his people. He protected them throughout their journey in the wilderness, through their rebellion, through everything. They were not a people who deserved his loyal love, but he continued to keep his commitment to them. And it's the same for us today, that God will never stop loving us. Here when we see with these kings, there was no army, no king, no political system enough to destroy God's people because God protected them. And it's the same way for us. He protects and he saves us. And we can read this in Romans 8:35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? From the love of Christ, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, danger, or sword? I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we can see here that God's love for us will never, ever end. And his faithfulness, his generosity to us, he gave an inheritance to the Israelites, a land of milk and honey. He brought them to that place of freedom. He delivered them from slavery. And that is the same God who promised us, and he calls us heirs of his kingdom. The God who keeps his covenant, whose loyal love for us will never falter. In the last three verses, we continue to read. If you look at the three words that I have colored here, the first word is remembered, the one who remembers us when we were down. God remembers us even in our unworthy state, even when we have failed and made mistakes and when we have disappointed him, when we have walked away from him. He remembers us. But the problem always is we don't remember him. We are so fast to forget him, to forget his love, to forget his covenant, to forget his words, to forget his faithfulness. But he remembers. In Psalm 105, verse 8, it says, God has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. He remembers. If you look, read through the Bible, he remembered every one of these people, David, Hannah, Joseph in the prison, he remembers everybody. And he remembers us. And this is the truth that we must hold on to. God remembers us. He loves us deeply. His hesed love for us. He does not walk away from his covenant to us. He remembers us. And then he does amazing deeds. He snatches us away from our enemies. He rescues us. He encourages us. He blesses us. He does miracles and gives us strength and courage and wisdom. And he does these amazing things in our lives. But many times we are the ones who keep forgetting. And then he also sustains us with all that we need. And he says in John 6:5, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He sustains us with food that we need. But more than that, he sustains us with his presence and with his word. And this is what the psalm is talking about. It's talking about the marvelous, wonderful love, this loyal love for his people. His love is not shallow. His love is deep, and his love endures forever. And we can continue singing this litany. We can continue to say God has sent his son for his loyal love endures, to redeem us from our sins, for his loyal love endures, so that we can live with him in heaven, for his loyal love endures. Today, we need to remember this truth, and we need to meditate on this love that God has for us. We need to live in this truth daily, no matter what is happening around us, whether people are loving us, whether this world is rejecting us, whether we are up to the standards of the world, whether we are successful, whether we feel we have failed, whatever is our thoughts, we need to bring all those things in the light of God's loyal love for us and allow his love to transform our hearts and cause us to be committed to him. And then we become generous to others. When we begin to think about his loyal love, then we begin to clearly see our issues of acceptance, rejection, recognition, and success, and we find freedom in his loyal love. When we experience the purity and power of God's loyal love, his hesed to us, which is shown through Jesus, it compels us to rethink how and why we can show hesed back to God and to others. Hesed binds a man to his Lord and to his neighbor. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." To do justice and to love kindness. That is our acts, our conduct towards our neighbor, towards others. And to walk humbly before God is the posture we take before our God. God wants changed life. He wants his people to be fair and just and merciful and humble. God wants us to be living sacrifices. And it's impossible to follow God consistently without his transforming love in our hearts, because his love teaches us to die to ourselves, to our selfishness, to our self-seeking ways, and he teaches us how to be loyal in love to him and to others. And if you would like to continue to think about this word and spend more time meditating on the word hesed and how we can show hesed to others, I would like to encourage you to look at the book of Ruth. And as you look at the book of Ruth, you should think about how did Ruth show hesed to Naomi, her mother-in-law. Just want to invite all of us to a time of prayer. I just want to invite anyone who would like to pray after I've prayed to just choose any point or anything that God has laid on your heart and to just pray. Do not be shy. Do not hold back. Just let us learn to pray together as a church. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. And we just want to thank you and rejoice in you and be glad. And Father, it's so difficult to say in words, Lord, our expression of gratitude towards you, Lord, when we think of the way you love us, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your amazing hesed to all of us, Lord. And I pray that we would spend time, Lord, this week and the coming days to really sit down and think of how much you love us. In Lamentations 3, 21 to 24, it says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." Lord, we just want to remember, Lord, each day of your great love for us, Lord. We want to remember, Lord, how deeply you show your love to us, how you keep your covenant, how you keep your promises, how you are so loyal, Lord, and generous, Lord Jesus. And as we think, Father, of these words, I pray, Lord, that we will learn to abide in your love, that it is your love, Lord, that we will seek each day to find fulfillment, to be in contentment, to find our place in you, to worship and praise you, Lord, for your amazing love to each one of us. I pray, Father, that you will still touch each one of us tonight, Lord. Let your word, Lord, stir up within us, Lord, that longing to be in your presence, to be in your love, to find our place in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you for opening our eyes through your word, dear God. Dear Lord, be you gated, Lord. The more we get closer to you, the more we realize that you actually don't have a reason, Lord, to be close to us. You need not make promises to us. You need not keep those promises. You need not, Lord, tolerate our weakness and our rebellion. You need not make any sacrifices on our behalf, Lord. You are much greater. You are sufficient. You do need us, dear Lord. But yet, Lord, Your steadfast love endures forever. And that's why we are your children. That's why you are here. You love us. And there is no end, Lord, to the learning and discovering of the heights and depths and width of your love, dear God. But this is what you invite us to do, to understand how your love is displayed each day in our lives. Your love that comes in strength, that comes in power, that comes in gentleness and lowliness. Your love that is displayed when you chastise us as our Father, when you strengthen us, when you pick us up. So Lord, we pray that we will always be reminded that when all else fails, God, your steadfast love endures forever. Dear God, in our nation, we see a lot of things failing, dear Lord, even as we look at this, the things that are happening, the many cases and situations in the hospital. We are frustrated because a lot of this also is due, Lord, to negligence and a lack of proper leadership, dear God. And we pray, Lord, for our government. We pray for the leaders. We pray, Lord, because what is impossible for man, Lord, is not impossible for you, dear God. We pray, Lord, because of your great love. And so, Lord, come. Do, Lord, something in this situation. Bring healing. Bring deliverance. Raise godly people. Open doors, Lord, for the hearts of the leaders to be released, Lord, from selfishness and greed. Dear Lord, establish proper leaders, Lord Father, that will represent your glory and your goodness. We pray also that your people will rise to care, to love, to share, Lord, everything. So, Lord, we pray. We just continue, Lord, to pray for our government. We continue to pray for the situation. We look to you for deliverance, dear God. Dear Lord, also we pray as we see that there must be a time where everything must go back to normal. And these are difficult times with a lot of difficult choices. But we see workplaces being open and some of us are called back to go to work. And eventually, Lord, even parents have to make decisions, Lord, about sending their children back to school. Dear Lord, we look to you for wisdom. We look to you, Lord, for understanding, dear Lord. As we make these decisions, you guide us. You, Lord, be our strength. You be our assurance. Dear Lord, even, Lord, as we, even those who have to go and teach in schools and work in offices, we pray, Lord, that we will always be mindful that your steadfast love endures forever and that we will be, Lord, the very vessels that will overflow with your love to those around us. So continue to anoint us, to fill us, to empower us, to grant us grace, dear Lord. As you said, Lord, as your word says, Lord, that you with your mighty hand has defeated all powers. And even in this situation, you can, Lord, you will, Lord Father, bring your grace and mercy into our broken world. So let us stand, Lord, steadfastly in this place of prayer. Let us, Lord, stand on your character, on your promises, on your steadfastness, Lord, on your ability, Lord, to see this through. Let us keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are our shepherd. You are Lord and King. Your steadfast love endures forever. We praise you, Lord Father. We thank you again that we can come together and we can bring you praise and honor your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, every week as we pray. Prayers are being answered. And so we commit, Lord, all of us into your hands. Guide us, Lord, in this season. Be with us throughout this week. Continue, Lord, to lead us in your love and goodness. We give you all glory and honor. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.